Hi, everyone. Today we're speaking with Suzanne Connolly. She's a therapist and the author of Clinical Applications, Integrating Thought Field Therapy in Psychotherapy. That's a mouthful, huh? And we're going to discuss the treatment method she specializes in and how it could be used for treating emetophobia. So first off, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today, Suzanne.
Well, thank you very much, Rich.
You're very welcome. Now, I know that you've trained over 2,000 professionals in thought field therapy, so you're probably the best person I could think of to ask what thought field therapy is. Can you explain it?
Yes. Well, thought field therapy is a method of exposure therapy where somebody is asked to tune into the thought field. That means they're actually thinking about the problem that they want to work on. So, for instance, if it was a specific phobia, they'd be thinking about that phobia. That thought would have to be present in order for thought field therapy to be effective. And while that person is exposing themselves to that memory, that thought, that fear, possibly an anticipatory fear, they're going to be tapping on different acupuncture points in a specific order. And that specific order will be tailored to the problem that they are working on.
Okay. So it has a lot to do with acupuncture and meridians. And
it does. It's based on kinesiology, and it's based on the acupuncture meridians. It was actually discovered through using kinesiology with the acupuncture meridians. But now, frequently, we don't even use the kinesiology. We just tap on the spots that we know are usually effective with that particular problem.
Right. Now, you know, one of the things that I wanted to make sure that we talk about a little bit is that whenever you talk about any sort of, you know, technique or therapy that isn't as popular as other therapies yet,
yes,
there's always a little bit of skepticism.
Always. So,
yeah, I wanted to see if there was any research or evidence that you had that thought field therapy was effective.
You know, there is research, and in fact, I'm very involved with Arizona State University in doing research, mostly in Africa. There have been some published studies, not great studies yet. You know, there's a lot of anecdotal stuff. You know, certainly a lot of studies with simply reporting the SUD level. And if you're not familiar with SUD, that means subjective units of discomfort. And a person may be asked before, while you're thinking about this fear or this memory on a scale of 1 to 10 or 0 to 10, how upset are you, 10 being the most upset? And then the person would report that. And then as the treatment goes on and progresses, and usually the SUD level would be lowering, your hope is to get to a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10 or 0 on a scale of 0 to 10. And so we have a lot of research with that kind of evidence. But the work I'm doing now in Africa uses not only that, but several objective measures as well. And we've had some very, very good results using thought field therapy with trauma after genocide in Africa.
Well, I was going to ask why you were doing the research in Africa, but that answers it.
Yeah, it's a good place to find lots of people who've been subjected to high degrees of trauma, and people are very, very willing to participate in research if they think there's any chance at all of it possibly helping them.
Sure, sure. Now, in your book, you go into a great amount of detail about all the different tapping points on the body, but I thought it might be nice for you to share just maybe one with us now and explain how people listening might even be able to start to use it a little bit today.
Well, a nice one for anxieties and phobias, and even if trauma is involved in those anxieties and phobias, would be a series of points. But it would begin on the beginning of the eyebrow, and then it would be under the eye, right on the edge of the bony socket, and then it would be under the arm about 4 inches on the side, and then it would be under the collarbone right by the sternum. And I actually have a little diagram of that on my website, so there is a way on my website to actually try TFT, and it kind of explains how to go through that. And that little simple tapping sequence wouldn't work for everybody, but it works for enough people that it's worth giving it a try.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, at the end of our talk, I'll give out your website address for everyone.
Sure.
And can go
uh-huh.
take a look. But if, if I give it out now, then everyone will stop listening and they'll run off to their computers. So I'm gonna I'll keep it a secret.
That's fine, but that might be the easiest way for people to try it.
Sure.
And I'd say the success rate with just that simple algorithm would be about 40%.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Now, can people really overcome a fear like emetophobia using this therapy? Can you maybe explain how that would work and what a typical session that they visited a thought field therapist might be like?
Well, a typical session might be that, you know, obviously people would get acquainted and you'd kind of find out what the problem is and if there was a past trauma involved. Sometimes with phobias there's been a past trauma, and sometimes there doesn't seem to be any identifiable past trauma, but you'd just find out a little bit about that because you'd want to know how to structure the particular tapping sequence, or as we call them, algorithms, for that particular person. So then, you know, if things were going well and you were pretty sure what the problem was, you would just have them tap on specific energy points in a specific sequence. And that's usually reinforced by something called the 9-gamma treatment, which accesses different areas of the brain, and then a repeat of the major treatment. And during that time, you know, the therapist would say, you know, before you start, you know, where are you on the scale of 1 to 10 or 0 to 10? And then that would be kind of tracked as the treatment progressed. So that would be kind of a typical scenario for something as fairly delineated as a phobia or a specific anxiety. It can get a little bit more complicated for things that are a little bit more complex.
Okay. Have you personally ever treated anyone with emetophobia with thought field therapy? And if you have, what were the results?
You know, I have, and the results were successful. I don't remember a lot of details because it hasn't been real recently, and I close about 250 cases a year, and I've been doing this for 12 years. But I can recall a person studying to be a nurse that had this problem. And as I recall, it did begin with some kind of a traumatic memory of a brother vomiting. And I don't know the details. I'm sorry. It would make a better story if I could remember all the details. But she was extremely excited about becoming a nurse, but she was also extremely agitated and anxious because she knew that she just could not tolerate the smell, the sight, or even the thought of somebody vomiting. And this did turn out, you know, I do remember that it turned out satisfactorily, that, you know, she was able to think about somebody vomiting without any problem and actually experienced in her work vomit and did not react in any kind of an abnormal way.
Good. Well, that's very encouraging.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've worked with other phobias more frequently, but I know I have worked with that type of a phobia.
Right. Okay. Now, I also read in your book that you can use thought field therapy for treating post-traumatic stress disorder and traumas. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, that is really something I specialize in, and I do a lot of work with that. I actually trained a team after Columbine that was interested in using this technique to help some of the students and their families. I went to Katrina, post-Katrina, three times at the invitation of Charity Hospital. And as you know, they were a very well-known American trauma hospital, trauma meaning physical trauma. And many nurses and doctors around the country go there to study trauma. Well, the team there was very traumatized. And we gathered together a team of thought field therapists, and we worked with all the doctors and nurses and even some of the policemen that were involved in that struggle during and after Katrina. And we were very well received and invited back twice, once to train the staff, and another time to go to one of the satellite hospitals affiliated with Charity Hospital. I've been to Rwanda four times working with victims of genocide and doing some objective research with Arizona State University is involved in this to some degree and helping us with the statistics and helping us with planning the research. And we're using objective measures such as the PTSD symptom survey and the trauma symptom inventory by John Breer. And the results so far have been really impressive on most of the scales. They've improved at the 0.001 level, which means that there's a 1 in 1,000 chance of that happening just by chance. So we're very, very impressed with the research that we are getting, but these research studies in Rwanda have not yet been published. They're just being prepared for publication.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're doing a lot of very important work.
Well, we're trying to develop a model in the third world where you can go in and you can train community leaders, people who are respected in their community, people who have some education preferably, and in a two-day training teach them how to do TFT at a very simple level. And then we have those people actually do the treatment, and we do some supervision. So all of these studies that I'm talking about, the treatments were actually not administered by us. They were administered by the newly trained Rwandan therapists. And the results are quite amazing.
Wow. That's fantastic news to hear.
Yeah. We'll be under a lot of criticism, of course, because anything new,
sure,
you know, really has to stand the test of multiple research studies and lots of criticism. It's that way with every new therapy, but, you know, we feel in the end thought field therapy will eventually become a standard of treatment.
Great. Well, Suzanne, that's all the time we have for now, but I want to thank you once again for being so gracious for sharing your time and all the great work that you're doing. I really appreciate it. I'm sure a lot of people's eyes will be open to thought field therapy and the possibilities and potential that it has.
Yes, and I hope that I get a little feedback if this is helpful to anyone.
Okay, well, great. Uh-huh. Well, that's a good way to tell everyone that your website that we mentioned earlier, where you have some great tools that they can see, or if they wanted to contact you and give you some feedback if they gave thought field therapy a try and had some success with it. Your website is thoughtfieldtherapy.net. Is that right?
Yes. Uh huh.
And you also do workshops, I believe, don't you?
I do. I do training so other people can do thought field therapy for others.
Okay.
And
well,
themselves.
Great.
So
thanks again for taking your time, and I will talk to you soon.
And thank you, Rich.
You're very welcome, Suzanne. Take care now.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.